Isaiah chapter 44, the first eight verses is our passage this evening, and that we'll read responsively. I'll read on verse 1, and then would you please join me on verse 2 and every other verse down to verse 8 tonight here, Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 8. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming, and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any.
Penny had no idea what I was going to preach tonight, but her offertory tonight was, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Tonight I want to bring a message simply entitled, Come Unto Me and Drink. Come Unto Me and Drink. Isaiah 55, verse 1, you'll want to use your Bible at the very beginning of this message this evening. Isaiah 55 and verse 1 says, Ho, everyone that is thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Notice the first part of the verse, Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters. Revelation 22 and verse 17 says, And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then in the New Testament, John chapter 7 and verse 37, it says, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And that is the context verse for my message tonight for the title. One of the things, and I really want to put my finger on something tonight, because I want us to apply this very, very personally, every single one of us in this room, starting with me. Working my way through all of you, starting with me and working my way through all of our dear friends online with us tonight. I want to put my finger on what I believe is a deficiency in Christianity today and so many of our churches. One of the things that's missing today is a thing called a thirst for the things of God. And I believe that with all of my heart. Having been saved for 61 plus years, having been in the ministry now full-time for 46 years, having been serving the Lord since I was a teenager, and having the right upbringing in my home church with my pastor and my youth director, having grown up in a home that I did, I'm here to say that what's missing in so many places is a genuine thirst for the things of God. A genuine thirst for the things of God. I know what thirst is, and so do you. It has been said that if you're thirsty, you've waited too long. I don't know how true that is. What I do know is the Bible speaks of being thirsty because there's a need that is there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 plainly states, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. Today, Christians remain without water, and very empty because of a lack of genuine thirst. I want to say that again because that's going to be an easy phrase to walk past and miss it. I'm going to read it. Christians remain without water and very empty because of a lack of genuine thirst or recognizing it in their lives. According to Isaiah 44 and verse 3, there are conditions that must exist in order for water to be poured out. There are three conditions that are mentioned. Number one, a source for the water. Has to be a source. Number two, a thirst for that water. There has to be a thirst. And thirdly, there has to be dry ground ready for the water to receive it. There has to be dry ground ready for the water to receive it, for the ground to receive the water. I want more than anything for the Lord to pour out his water upon my dry ground, and I have plenty of it. And I think that's where we have to begin, is to realize that all of us have dry ground that needs to be watered by our Heavenly Father. Not much grows in dry ground, especially believers. Say it again. Not much grows in dry ground, especially believers. So tonight I want to make a number of applications. We're not necessarily going to go to any other place in Scripture because I've given the basis for what I'm going to say next. I'm going to share with you tonight seven very simple and relevant points in this message. And the first one is simply this: Jesus can quench your thirst. He honestly can. I don't know why we go to other sources, but Jesus can quench your thirst. People can get help, but not quench your thirst. People can help. Well, of course they can. God gave us people and friends and folks upon whom we can lean and trust and be a part of their lives and them be a part of our lives. People whom we can love and who can love us. But they can't quench your thirst. Jesus is the purest source of water in the entire universe. He really is. He is the water of life. Alcohol and drugs and immorality cannot quench the thirst that is way down in your soul. And that Jesus is the source. So that's point number one. Jesus is the source, and Jesus could quench your thirst. And some of you right now are thinking about the words to a song, aren't you? I know you are. I'm not reading your minds, and I'm not getting a word of knowledge. But you're thinking of the words, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Number two, we will receive water according to our thirst. Number two, we will receive water according to our thirst. One who's not thirsty is not going to drink. Somebody offer you a drink of water and you say, no, I'm not thirsty. Well, you won't drink it just because they offer it to you. You have to be thirsty to want to have that water. I don't know, last night and today, all I wanted to do was drink some ice cold water, just a small amount. I didn't chug down a 16-ounce glass of water or a 12-ounce glass of water, just a small 8-ounce cup. Filled it up about halfway, made sure the water was good and cold. I was thirsty, and I got me a drink. And the truth of the matter is, after I preach tonight, I'll be drinking what's in this glass to quench my thirst after I preach. But one who is full will not drink either. Let me say it again. You see, you're going to receive the water according to your thirst, and if you're already full, you're not going to want any more water. That's the way things are. And our lives get filled up with so many things. There's so many applications that can be made in this. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Well, a baby that's full is not going to want more. A Christian who's full is not going to want more. A believer who has filled his life with other things besides the Lord Jesus is not going to desire more of him. More of thee is what the songwriter said. And one who is satisfied will not drink. But yet Jesus says, you come to me and drink. You come unto me and drink. Thirdly, we must deeply desire to drink that water. I don't know what your desires are. I don't know what your desires are spiritually. I think I know what some of them are as far as things that you'd like in your life as a Christian. But as far as the depth of that desire, I don't know. Well, I've spoken many times here from this pulpit about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But yet I dare say even the people of Timberline Baptist Church, best church on the planet, even the people of Timberline Baptist Church, many neglect asking for the fullness and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God in their lives on a daily basis. Your being saved is not the same as the filling. You see, the endowment of power is different than when the Holy Spirit comes in to indwell you. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached and all that was going on, there were 120 believers, born again, saved people, gathered in an upper room. But yet, it wasn't until they were there and they had that prayer meeting in that room and they waited for the promise of the Father that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, had the power of God upon their lives. I think of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, how it's written to believers, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not after that the Holy Ghost is indwelling you, but after he has come upon you, you see. And the same parallel is found in the Old Testament where the Spirit of God would come upon the preachers that were there, the evangelists that were there, those prophets that were there. And I think about Ezekiel as he sat down by the river. The Bible says it was there that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon him, you see. David even prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David was a believer, but what was he saying? There are many believe that the Holy Spirit would come and go on believers in the Old Testament. I'm not one who follows that directly. I believe that David was saying, please don't take away the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life. That's something that I don't want to lose. And I believe I speak for my church family. That's something you don't want to lose either. But you see, David had committed an egregious sin, and he lost so much in that. But he did not lose God. God did not lose him. But David was uninfluential. I think about the Apostle Peter when Jesus was talking to him in the New Testament. And Jesus says, Peter, I've prayed for you. And there was a little bit of a tension there because Peter was jealous about John and how Jesus was going to deal with John. And yet, we have here, Jesus looked at Peter and said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. But then he made this statement. He said, when you're converted, then you can help your brethren. You can strengthen your brethren. It wasn't until after the power of the Holy Spirit was upon his life and he got his eyes off of Peter and got his eyes on Jesus that Jesus would use him to comfort others, you see, and to be a blessing to others and strengthen others. That influence apparently was not apparent in Jesus or in Peter's life. So you got to desire deeply to drink, wanting to desire that drink very deeply in your heart. A desire is something that you want, and if you can take it or leave it, let me just say this, you will leave it. I've said for years and years and decades, if you can take it or leave it, you will leave it. End of report. Someone says, well, I don't know about church. I can take it or leave it. Well, you'll leave it. I don't know about reading the Bible. I can take it or leave it. Yeah, you'll leave it. I don't know about praying for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I can take it or leave it. You'll leave it. You'll leave it alone. I know an awful lot of believers over the years, I've known them who have left it. Are they still saved? Oh, if they were saved to begin with, you better believe they're still saved. But somehow or other, they don't deeply want it. Number four, if you're writing things down, there is no limit to the amount of water you may draw. And we know this because there is no limit to God's power and God's grace. He's able to abundantly bless us above, far beyond what we ask or think. He has more than we need. It is simply enough. Overflowing in our lives, it can be. A long rope and a big bucket is best for this water that you need. You know, when I was growing up, we would go down to Tennessee for vacation. And my mama and papa Parton had a deep well that had cold water in it. They also had running water in the house, but they also had a deep well. my mama and papa human, my mom's mom and dad. They also had a well inside. They called it their little well house. It was connected to the house. And you could go out there and you could dig it. You could take a big old bucket and dip it down into that water that was pure and cold. Really amazing. And did we drink that water? Yes, we did drink that water. And if you've never drank, if you've never had that kind of water that come out of a deep well and had to put it in a, catch it in a bucket and use a dipper to take a drink, of that, you've missed an awful lot in your life. It's something about how cold that water is. It usually comes out of the ground in the 50s as far as the temperature of the water goes. Very, very delicious water. But if you let down a short rope with a small bucket, that's what you're going to end up with. You want a long rope and a big bucket's what you want. And there's just all of it's available. God doesn't run out. He doesn't run out of water for you. But he's your source. You can't go someplace else and get filled and have your thirst quenched. Oh, there are things that'll make you happy, yes, but it's not going to quench your spiritual thirst. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, or as the heart, I guess the word of God says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my heart after thee, you see. An amazing passage in the Word of God. It speaks of that thirst and draws a picture of one running on their own power, perhaps, and needing that cold, cold, refreshing water. I told you this story a long time ago. It's a short one. But when I came out here as a teenager with my youth director and my whole youth group, we all came out here. That was back when you could drink the water in Colorado right out of the rivers or out of the mountains, and you wouldn't get sick from any bugs in the water or anything like that. And I remember jumping into the water. It would swim, get this water coming down off the side of a mountain. And boy, you talk about cold water. There's something about that kind of water in Colorado that is just flat cold. And I remember jumping in well over my head and just opening my mouth and getting a mouthful of ice cold water straight from the mountains and drinking it while I was underwater. Boy, you talk about refreshing. That was incredible. Now, you don't want to do that today. You might get a bug, and you might not be well after you drink it. But none of us got sick after that. Number five, anyone who's thirsty may get what they need. Anyone who's thirsty may get what they need. Sometimes there'll be folks that'll come in from out of town, and perhaps we will treat them to lunch or treat them to a supper time or whatever it might be. My words are always the same to them. I will say, order what you want. Order what you want. I don't tell them what to order. I don't give them a price range of what to order. I usually joke and say, I got $10, order whatever you want. And they can get whatever they care to have. But when I say order what you want, I literally mean that. And places where I've gone to preach, they'll say, order whatever you want off the menu, Pastor Dan. And that's exactly what I do. And I want to say that anyone who's thirsty can get what they want. The thirsty are the ones who get the water. And of course, the Bible says, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. We just read it a moment ago. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. It floods upon the dry ground. It's not to the talented, not to the good looking, not to the spiritual, not even to the called or the eloquent or anything else. It's to them who are thirsty for the things of God. All you got to do is go there. All you have to do is, I believe, ask. And no one has the corner on water but the thirsty. And it's there for your taking. Number six, I said I had 7 points for you. I've only got two to go. Number six, when the bucket gets empty, just get it refilled. That's all. Listen, Jesus even came apart to pray. He would go up into the mountains to pray by himself. He would find himself alone someplace where he could get what he needed as he talked to his Father. And we have the same privilege today. When we get our bucket emptied out and we need more, we can go to God and ask for it and get it in our prayer closet, if you've got a prayer closet, so to speak. And the source never runs dry. Say, what if 1,000 people or 100,000 Christians ask at the same time? God's got plenty to fill every bucket. Yours is not the exception to where God will say, you have to wait. No, it's there for you right now. There's enough for every single one of us, and you must use what you have. You get that water filled up in your life. And the last point that I want to give you has to do with that. Number seven, if you have the water, the thirsty are going to come to you. Find out how you got it. How did you make it through that trial? How did you make it through that hard time? How did you make it through that financial difficulty? How did you make it through that test and trial in your life? How did you make it through that death? How did you make it through that sickness? How did you make it through COVID? How did you make it through this? How did you make it? You make it with the water that God has for you. And if you got the water, they'll come asking for it, wanting to know how you did. And isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says in the book, is it 1st or 2nd Corinthians, that we suffer sometimes in order that we might help someone else who suffers? Goes through the same thing. There are some people that say, and maybe it's just a matter of pride. I don't know that it's a matter of truth. I think it might be a matter of pride. You don't know. You've never been through what I've been through, so you can't help. That's not necessarily true. Sometimes it helps. But the truth of the matter is, if you've got the answer, you can give it to somebody who needs it. If you have what others need, they're going to come knocking at your door. Give them a bucket and help them lower the rope. Tell them where you got it. I think often people will come and ask me a question, a spiritual question, and I say, I can't do this for you. I can tell you what I do. And I will share with them what I do. And I can share with them that you can try this. You can do this. This is what I do in that situation. And that's like handing them a bucket and a rope, saying, here's what I do. Now maybe you could go try that as well. Be a well of refreshment for the dry and thirsty souls, where someone can come to you for refreshment and refreshing. So the question that I want to ask you tonight before I bring this message to a close is, are you thirsty? Have you thought about it in recent days? Are you thirsty? Is there more of the Lord? Is there more of the Lord that you desire for your life than just to be saved? And being saved is plenty. That's going to get you to heaven. But as the songwriter wrote, to be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray, that's talking about being filled and being used of God. You got to empty your bucket of the things that you have placed into it and fill it with the cool water from God's well. That's what you've got to do in your life. The name Julia Montoro, you're not familiar with, but you are familiar with the Marshall family. And Julia was one of the children in the Marshall family. A number of years ago, she wrote a beautiful song, which I will refrain from singing to you, but I'm going to read the words that she wrote. The song is called Thirst for God. My, how appropriate. How appropriate as the deer. How appropriate, thirst for God. But how I thirst for God, for the living God. Where shall I look for Him? Where shall I trod? The clearest water brooks I am longing for. Where shall I find my God and thirst no more? I have seen where He is not, searching far and near. What I've seen are broken hearts, lives of sin and fear. They are looking now for joy in this world of woe. I will tell them there is rest in the God I know. Now, I know where He is found, and my heart's at peace. I have searched with all my heart, crying on my knees. He was in a quiet place, where I gave my all. It was there I found my God, and there I heard His call. Oh, do you thirst for God, for the living God? Where will you look for Him? Where will you trod? The clearest water brooks the clearest water brooks are you looking, longing for? Where will you find your God and thirst no more? Oh, you can find your God and thirst no more. Very insightful song, I think. So the question I leave you with tonight is, are you thirsty? How thirsty are you? Are you thirsty enough to long for that cool, clear water that God has for you? that refreshing water, that water of life. Not talking about salvation. I'm talking the thing that God can give you to quench that thirst. So many believers today are walking around so empty of so much, and they are longing for something. And I think that many of them are reaching in the wrong direction for what they really need. And they forget the truth that only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And let's pray.